Welcome to the Pro Photographer Journey Podcast, your resource for building the photography business of your dreams. This is Shamira Young, bringing you tips, business strategies, and interviews with award-winning photographers. We're all in this together. Let's get to the good stuff. Hey, everybody. I am so excited for today's guest. We have another amazing photo shelter photographer joining us today. I am here with experienced wedding editorial and corporate photographer Miguel Ribeiro Fernandez. Miguel, how are you?
I'm fine. And you?
Good, good. Now, please say your middle name correctly for us, because I think I just butchered it.
No, it's correct. It's correct. It's Miguel Ribeiro Fernandez.
Oh, I can't say it.
It was totally fine.
Excellent. Now, and I've mentioned this on the show before to our listeners, Photo Shelter is a sponsor of the show. And if you haven't checked out Photo Shelter, they are amazing for organizing and archiving your photos, selling your photos to clients, delivering them, and showing and displaying your photos. So if you need an amazing website to do your work justice, which is so important, I highly suggest you check them out. They're offering a 14-day free trial, plus 20% off a standard or pro account for the year. And I will make sure and include that link in the show notes if you want to save a bit of money. You can also use the coupon code PHOTOFOCUS20. And, you know, Miguel, looking at your website, it was just the breadth and of your work. It's so robust. It's beautiful. And when I reached out to you, I was so excited when you replied back, because I can't wait to talk about your work and your business.
Thank you so much for inviting me to do this.
Oh, hey, I'm honored. It's my pleasure. Trust me.
It's also a pleasure to receive your email. Yeah.
Excellent.
And it's true that Photo Shelter does play a very important role on my business. And it's been like that, I would say, for ages, like since the beginning of Photo Shelter, which I don't even already know when it was. But anyway, I think we'll get to that at a certain point.
We will. And we're going to touch on a lot of good stuff. We're going to touch on how you run your business, how you find clients, all that good stuff. But first, just to start from the very beginning, because I always assume listeners may not have heard of you, can you give us an overview of yourself, your background, how you got started?
Yeah. So I would say it's fairly normal that listeners haven't heard of me. But basically, since I'm a photographer who has worked internationally, but I'm basically a Portuguese photographer. Mm. And most of my work is done here in Europe and in Portugal. When I was a kid, still the beginning of a teenager, or not even a teenager. When my dad gave me my first camera, I would say I would have like 6 to 8 years old, and I still have that camera. And my father, he used to be, we had a war in Portugal, like in with our colonies in Africa, mm-hmm. our ex-colonies. And my dad, he was in the army, so he went to war, but he was during the war as a photographer. So all of my infants, I would be a kid, and I would go around going through the albums of my father of the war. And that somehow influenced me visually, even, or as looking at photography, not only as a hobby, but also as something that could be very, very serious, and it could be deep. So, of course, when I was a kid, I would look into these photos, and I really didn't thought about them. But then I had a camera, so I wanted to play with the camera. And then when I was a teen, I started doing my long runs with my father, especially during the summer holidays. So he would just teach me how to shoot with a manual camera. And then that's when I started getting into photography, but still only as a hobby, like many other things. After high school, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I had these many options, and one of them which was again introduced by my father, was to go into art school doing a photo course. And besides going to a general studies of photography, which is ARCO, which it still exists. And besides that, he told me I could also do at the same time a photojournalism, more specific course in a journalism school. Mm-hmm. So, and that sounded okay. I do like photography, so let's try. And this was in 98, and basically, I loved it. And after 1 year, in 99, I started working. Still studying, but I started work as an intern in a newswire, in the Portuguese newswire, mm-hmm. which is associated to EPA and to AFP, but it's the Portugal newswire, which is Lusa. So that's basically how I started my career as a photojournalist. And I stayed like that. From the newswire, I went to the online, to an online newspaper, and it was still coming out. It was still in the beginning, mm-hmm. I would say 2001.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, so it was early online. But we had already all the digital cameras, and we were shooting press conferences or soccer matches or whatever, and we were sending them at the same time by FTP or to our laptops. So we were like, things were changing, the game was changing. And it was funny for me because I started out basically when the game was changing. And then in 2003, I went into freelancing because I saw there were other things. More than Wire, more than small national newspapers. So I started working, trying to do my own stories as a photojournalist, basically. And so I did. And I would say that around that time, in 2005 maybe, that's when I thought that Photo Shelter could help me first creating a basis for my work, like to just an archive that I could use in an easier way than just hard drives and etc. So in 2000, from there, I started working mainly in photojournalism, and I started working a little bit for the outside, also for the US, for the rest of Europe. And I would say that only in 2003, I started doing some wedding photography. And so from 2003 to 2000, and during 10 years, basically, I was working as a photojournalist and some, of course, corporate photographer. Mm-hmm. And I was always using the techniques of the photojournalism. And in the photojournalism itself, I tried to develop a little more into reportage and not only news, and creating a sort of defining my sort of style, my vision, my approach, and my attitude towards photography. So when I started doing wedding, I do it exactly like that. The first time I did wedding, I was invited as a second shooter by a friend. Mm-hmm. who was and is a very experienced wedding photographer. His name is Pedro Vilela. And I still had a little bit of a prejudice, I must be honest, against wedding photography, because I really didn't knew what it was. It's true. In my mind, I still had that misjudgment of wedding photography is just that sort of photography, really boring, you know, people just looking at the camera, and etc. And for me as a photographer, that didn't make much sense because I wouldn't get really nothing out of it, of that work. Mm-hmm. But he needed help, and he asked me to do it. And he told me, no, you're like, it really doesn't work like that. You should go and try. And I did. I tried. And it was really fun. Because basically, after almost 12 to 15 years of doing photography, I found a space where when I say space, it's wedding photography, where I could use my creative freedom at its best. And that is, for me, it's funny because when you're working on a corporate job, you do have the guidelines. You can use your approach, but there are defined guidelines. Even if you have lots of freedom, you do tend to stick to them. When you're working on editorial, photojournalism, or reportage, yes, you do have freedom, but there's something you're trying to also understand or follow. Of course, in photojournalism, you can have all freedom you want, but unless you're doing a totally personal work, there's always an editor, and there's always the publication.
Yep.
And that's something you really have to work with. And you're taking major decisions, but you're not alone taking all decisions. And it doesn't, because it's not like that. So, and it makes sense, it's not like that, because it's a teamwork. Although you may be alone in the field, it is a teamwork. Absolutely. When you have all the other people in the publication. And in wedding, you're making every single decision. Okay, you don't get to decide what's happening, or at least I don't as a wedding photographer, because there are wedding photographers that do that. I don't. But you are taking all the decisions, and you're the one that knows what visually makes sense and works. So you're the one that you're alone exploring since the beginning until the end. Since you finish, since you edit the album, if there is an album.
So here's a question for you then, because I mean, looking at the different portfolio sections of your work, you have beautiful wedding work, you have engagement work, you've got corporate work, you've got photojournalism, editorial. Do you have, and for some people when I ask this question, it's kind of like trying to pick your favorite child, so it might be a little difficult, but do you have a favorite type of photography that you get to do?
Not really, no. No.
And that's totally fine too.
I can say that I do prefer, of course, some jobs over others. But basically that has to do with not so much with the type of photography, but either with the subject or with the people itself.
I like that. Because that's important. That's what it comes down to at the end of the day.
For me, photography is really about people and life, even if they're not there, even if there's no human in the picture. There's also always some I would say some human reference. Maybe that's why I don't do that much of like nature or landscape photography. I may like it or as to see, but I don't know if I'm that photographer.
You know, Miguel, that's a really, really good observation. I'm so glad you're mentioning people skills because, and I've mentioned this in other podcasts that I do, when you decide to be a professional photographer and you're doing something like corporate or wedding or even family portraits, people skills can be just as important as knowing how to use your camera. And looking at the expressions on your clients' faces, I mean, I'm just going through your engagement portfolios here, and everyone looks so comfortable. Now, I've seen wedding work, and when I first started out as a wedding photographer years ago, I'm guilty of this, where people had the deer in headlights look because I hadn't yet learned how to interact with them. And how comfortable you are, absolutely, it shows through your photos, whether you're good at it or you're bad at it. And I can see that you are a people person looking at these photos. I mean, they look like they're having a blast. They're having so much fun.
Yeah, and I think that's really like sort of mandatory thing.
And Miguel, looking at your work, I mean, it looks like you've got everything figured out. And it really does. I mean, it looks like you've had no struggles with your business. And so that's why I want to ask the next question, because I think... for a lot of, especially young photographers, or not necessarily young in age, but photographers just starting out, because people start out at any age with photography. Mm-hmm. But when they're just trying to build up their business, it can be so hard. And I remember how hard it was for me. It's like you think you're going to be taking pictures 100% of the time. And what I found for me, and I've talked to other photographers, and the general consensus is it's about 20% taking photos and 80% yep. business stuff. So I'm curious for you, what did you struggle with and learn as you, when you first started your business, when you got up and running?
So many things. I think it's a continuous struggle. And just for what it's worth, I would love that it would be 20% of the time taking photos. I don't think it's that much. Actually, I think it's less. Yeah, but that's something that I think that comes with time, I would mm-hmm. say. Mm-hmm. I think in the beginning, it's a little bit on the opposite. When we're starting out, from what I remember, I mean, I didn't start out as a freelance photographer. So things were different. I started working for publications. I was a staff photographer. So when I started out, I had, which was good, I think, I had time to invest in learning and getting to get to know techniques and letting to, you know, so I was, that's a good part of starting out as a staff photographer.
Yep.
So, but I would say that when I turned into freelancing, so I had all the technique already. I knew how to do my stuff and I could try to discover myself. And that's basically, I would say that was my first struggle. Trying to discover myself as a photographer. And that's not only about what you like to do, it's also what you're good at and what can you do. And I would say also about your needs. Because we don't have all the same needs. And I'm also talking financially. As a work,
yes.
So I think that there's this. I had some time trying to figure out my balance in between the things I really wanted to do, the things I was able to do well, and I was good at, and could give me work, and the things that financially were attractive to work on. So I think that three things were the most difficult for me. Of course, then with time, I would say it's a continuous struggle to stay on top of the game with everything. And nowadays, my struggle is mostly. Since I shoot so many things, like you said, I still do editorial, I do corporate, and I do weddings, and I also do video. Sometimes it's hard to cope with it all, because it's okay. It is photography, but they are different types. But it's not only about the taking photos. It's also about the rest. And the rest sometimes takes more time than it should. And if when you're working in, let's say, different markets, you need even more time.
Yes, so, you do.
Yeah, so that's one of the current struggles. But of course, life without struggle wouldn't be fun.
That's a great view to have. And I'm so glad you mentioned.
I think it's the only one.
So you mentioned that there's a difference between being a staff photographer and a freelance photographer. And I'm so glad you highlighted that, because you are absolutely right. And I know I got my beginnings in a somewhat similar fashion. When I first started shooting professionally, it was for a magazine, a publication. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so, and you're right, when you're shooting for a publication, it does give you a bit of there's less pressure, at least in my case. I mean, because I knew, you know, as a staff photographer, I had a salary. So yeah. I didn't have that struggle of when am I going to get paid next? And it gave me the freedom to learn how to use a camera. But mm-hmm. when I decided to break away and go freelance, it was, maybe I should have expected it, but I didn't. It was tough. It was tough.
Yeah.
Because
in
all of
the
a
beginning,
sudden,
you think right. It's, I mean, I don't think it ever, never stops. We have to be honest. I don't think, I think it's
like
always
a constant,
tough.
Yeah. Constant yeah, evolution.
But it's tough on different scales.
It is. But I mean, you highlighted great points about discovering yourself as a photographer, figuring out
yeah.
what you like to shoot and what your needs were, even financially. And so I just want to highlight that to our listeners mm-hmm. that you don't have to have everything figured out right away. It is a constant evolution. I've watched photographers who have big names have been in the game for decades, and they're constantly reinventing themselves. And that's okay. And I would say that's even necessary to be constantly asking yourself, you know,
I do think that in our days it's totally necessary.
Yes.
Not only I would say that not only in photography, but in photography for sure. And like you said, you can see all that from, you can see like great photographers that have been around for ages and they really know their stuff, and their names are almost brands by themselves.
Yep.
Or they even work in agencies that have been alive longer than we did. and it's a changing business, and we have to adapt.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So like I told you, from 2003 to 2013, I never shot a wedding before.
Hmm.
So my friend asked me to go and do that gig. And I did love it because from 2003 onwards, the editorial business on photography, and I can say that probably it's worldwide, not only here, dropped amazingly.
Yeah, they're having changes.
Yeah, great changes. So if I don't know, for me it was really great because once I started having less editorial business, I started having like lots of wedding business.
Hmm.
But if that didn't happen, I don't know. Maybe it wasn't that, and it wasn't easy because we were in a worldwide crisis, and Portugal was really affected by that, also in the corporate market. But it's so, yes, it's always a struggle. The thing is, I would say, if you have your techniques developed and if you have your skills developed, then you can go to your style. From your style, you can go to your client, trying to find clients. And then you can try and find clients that pay. Because sometimes that's also a problem. Or then you can start worrying about getting some accountants to take care of that.
Right.
But then you have to pay the accountants. So. Anyways.
You just touched on a really good point, though. I mean, finding clients. Are you willing to share some of the most effective techniques, some of the ways that you found clients, especially early on when you were getting started?
Well, again, that was when I was getting started. It was a bit of a privilege because since I was a staff photographer,
mm-hmm.
What I did was I knew already lots of people in newspapers and some mm-hmm. people in some corporations
mm-hmm.
Because we had crossed paths. Somehow, so basically, what I did in the there was this magazine I loved, which was called Great Reportage in Portuguese, Grande Reportage, and I went to, I got my cameras. I went to do a trip. I went to basically, I was trying to find out a country where no one really knew that much at the time about them, or was already a little bit forgotten. Mm-hmm. And so I went to Syria in 2003 for the first time. And 2003, no, I'm lying, I'm sorry, it was earlier on. I was still a staff photographer. So I think it was 2002, maybe, or 2002, 2003. So, and I came back with a portfolio. And yes, you do need a portfolio. Even if it's not newspapers or magazines anymore, I believe that as a photographer, a portfolio, it's really a must. Mm-hmm. And so basically, I was into the newspaper game already, where I knew people. And when I came back with that work, I was able to get in to the magazines also.
Very nice.
And that's basically how I started. I had something which was valuable, let's say, which was an interesting story, shot decently, that I could get into somewhere. Of course, every context it's different, because
right.
Portugal is really small.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easy for me to know everyone here. Maybe it's not the same in New York.
Well, you know, but that brings up a great point, though, because, I mean, as big as the United States is, everyone listening, they're living in a city somewhere. And sure, New York, I mean, let's pick a huge city, New York, with tons of competition, but there are still tons of communities within New York, in different boroughs, in different people groups. And so your point is excellent about making sure you cross paths with people, with potential clients and
yeah,
networking.
I think that's the most, yeah.
Right. You can't sit at home and wait for people to come to you. You got to figure out who you want to target and go and get to know them. When I've shared on this podcast that currently the city I'm living in, I've been here about 3 years now, but you know, a few years ago I moved here, I didn't know anybody. And so the most effective thing I did was get out into the community and show my face and meet people.
Yeah. And I think that's really the most important. So afterwards that, I started going to Perpignan to visit Pour des Mages. So that was also a way to get to know people outside of Portugal, and where people would stay in touch, basically to know, to get editors, to go to net, to go to see agencies, to know other photographers, and to be around. That's I would say that's really important.
Absolutely.
But also, again, with something to show. If you must
right.
have your work,
right.
And your work must have something different, whatever it is.
So, just to kind of touch on your wedding photographer real quick, because I know we have quite a few wedding photographers listening to the show. So you said your friend asked you to be a second shooter for that first wedding. Is that how you started your wedding portfolio? And then how did you get clients after that for weddings specifically?
Well, I started as a second shooter, basically.
Nice.
I did some, I don't know how many, not so many with him. In the same year, I started searching for people who were getting married.
Mm-hmm.
So I actively went after clients and to offer my services.
Very nice.
And I didn't have that much of a portfolio as a wedding photographer. I would approach someone with three weddings. But I was lucky enough, the weddings that my friend had were marvelous. So my small wedding portfolio was good. And I also had the other experience. And I knew what I wanted to do, so I could explain that to people. Okay. I knew that my approach, how it was going to be, really totally candid, non-intervenient at all, just like I was there. Of course, then in the portrait session, then I'm present. as a photographer.
So did you explain all this to the client beforehand so they knew what to expect from your style?
Sure. I think that's really the most important in wedding photography. I would say that, yes, look at the portfolio, but also have a big conversation, because and explain what are you doing and what can they expect. Because when you're working with editors or with marketing directors or communications people, they know about your stuff. I mean, they're used to it. So even if they're non-photographers, they know how photography works. But with wedding clients, they may not know at all. So sometimes you need to break down barriers and try to explain them in a very concrete and direct manner. What can they expect from your work? So that, because basically, I would say that the main goal of a wedding photographer is for the client to be happy. Otherwise, otherwise, it's a little bit strange.
Right.
Although the main goal is for the client to be happy, I don't want that to influence me when I'm shooting, because I want to be totally free when I'm shooting. So the best way I can be there at ease is previously explaining very well what am I doing, what do I do, and what can they expect. And also making them understand that there aren't two weddings who are exactly the same. That's also like when they see my portfolio, I have to tell them, okay, this is what I did, but I cannot promise you the same. Also, so maybe I'm sometimes a little blunt with clients on that, but I'm not. And then when the outcome is out, they are into it also. That's
my goal. Oh, for sure. Because, I mean, yeah, it's that whole onboarding process beforehand where you're educating your client and letting them know what to expect. That's so important. And I've talked to people who have gone to wedding photographers, or a lot of times they'll use a friend who'll do it for free. And if that friend or family member doesn't know what they're doing, it's like if they mess up that wedding, that's a one-time event, usually with that couple combination. Yeah. And to mess that up, I mean, I've talked to people who they've been in tears after they saw the wedding. Not when I was working weddings, they were always happy, but I didn't stick with it because it was just so much work and I was getting gray hairs. But talking to other people, you know, when they've gone with the wedding photographer that they regretted using, I mean, they've been in tears. It's like one of the biggest regrets.
Yeah,
so,
it is.
Yeah, I love that you're mentioning that you actually sit them down and explain what's going to happen so that they're not caught by surprise after the fact.
I think that's really important. But getting clients, I think there are different ways. We mentioned the editorial, how I did the editorial. You do need to be with people, to know people, to introduce yourself to people.
Yes.
And again, you do need something to show.
Absolutely.
And you need to build a trust relationship, I would say. They can trust your work. And that's something, again, that you can show your work. But that also has to be, you really need to be a good professional. And a good professional, it's not only about making great photos. So that's something I think you have to be totally reliable.
I 100% agree. And some of the other things that come into play, even communication. So responding back to clients when they want to give you a job, for example, or thinking of my corporate clients, even the way in which you deliver the photos. So you can take the greatest photos in the world, but if you don't deliver them in the way that that organization operates, that makes it easier for the marketing director or whoever you're working with. You know, you got to make their job easy or they're not going to work with you again.
Photo Shelter has helped me on that.
Ah, that is something I want to touch on, actually. Yes, yes. So Photo Shelter's role in your business.
Yeah. Yeah, because basically, I've, like I said, I started using Photo Shelter first as an archive. I had my own website, but basically it was an archive. I was managing my archive, and I had my archive online. So I could also distribute my stories easier. There was no WeTransfer at the time at all, nothing like that. So I started using Photo Shelter basically for managing my archive online and having it ready for clients. And one of the things I noticed in my corporate clients was the usability of just sending them a link with a password. They could choose whatever they wanted, or they could resend it to someone, to another client, or they could distribute it directly to other newspapers or whatever. And that was something that always has worked on my favor as a professional photographer. Having a structure that works perfectly, so I would say that's a plus for some clients, of course. Of course, there are others who have their own ways of receiving and taking care of images and etc. Also, when I went into wedding photography, I changed my website from a personal HTML website for a photo shelter website. And I think it also made a difference in the way I presented my work to people. I do need to look back again into my website right now. That's something I'm into doing. But because things have changed, of course, and you need more and more and more, and you need to update all the time. And I have, this last year, I haven't updated that much, the website. That's something I have to do now. But again, if the client came from the U.S. or from Ireland and he got married in Portugal and he's there back again, I can just, he'll get a USB pen, he'll get some photos. But before he does, he can see them all and he can download them all and he can have them all in his hard drive. Or if he just wants to, if he wants to go somewhere, he can just use the link I gave him and show it to someone. And for me, still, it's much easier to search on my photo shelter for my work than going through my hard drives or my Lightroom catalogs or whatever. It's
right.
It's much, much easier.
Because your archives must be massive at this point with the mix of work that you do.
Yes and no, because all the raw material I don't have in photo shelter. I only keep JPEGs, and I don't also keep just photos, no video. But I did some cleaning a couple of years ago.
Okay.
But it was because it was getting too much, and there was really no need for some sort of work to be there. I mean, it's easily manageable, and if you do know what you need to have there, you can use it accordingly to your needs.
So when you first decided to use Photo Shelter to display your work, so when you decided to use the website portion of it, I'm curious, how long did it take you to set up that first version of your website?
It was easy. I don't know. It was really easy. I mean, this last version of templates, I would say that in a week, I had things more than ready.
Very nice.
Even with some customization, because it's really easy, and then you could just add up some blogs if you wanted, or Vimeo, or just whatever, and it's fairly easy, I would say.
And I like to ask that question because a lot of photographers who don't have a website or are thinking that they may switch to another service, you know, one of the things that holds them up is they're afraid it's going to be this big, huge, difficult task. And I love that Photo Shelter, they do make it very easy. And I've also heard time and time again, by the way, that their customer service is amazing as well. And that's important,
too. Yeah, they do work. I can say that I always got a quick response from the customer client.
Excellent.
Yeah. And it's not like I'm saying all these good things about Photo Shelter, and I really don't need to, because I don't get out anything out of this. It's,
you mean they're not paying you to say these things?
No, actually, no. So it's true.
So cool. So cool. Well, you know, the point of this whole podcast is to help photographers be more successful with their businesses. And so I love having the opportunity to highlight services like Photo Shelter that are truly amazing and that truly make it easier to run your business. And even just having you on the show, Miguel, you hit so many fantastic points that photographers can take away and apply to their own business, whether they're corporate or wedding or trying to get into photojournalism. I mean, you just fantastic tips. And I want to make sure and ask, where can folks find you online? Where can they check out your work?
Oh, at my website, at Photo Shelter. It's www. It's MiguelRFernandez.com, basically. It's my domain. Yeah.
And I'll make sure and include that in the show notes so people can check that out. Miguel, thank you again. This has been so cool. Thanks for just chilling with us.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, it was great.
If you're enjoying this podcast, I ask that you please leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you're listening. The more reviews we get, the easier it is for people to find this podcast and search rankings. We want to reach as many people as possible and help improve our photo industry. I appreciate you all. Thanks for listening.